The American League wild card is in the books as the A's lose a snoozer to the Rays, and we got two DS games coming up to preview. Let's do it. All right, what's up, everybody? Thank you for joining us and listening to another episode of Talkin' Baseball. The playoffs are underway. The two wild card games have come and went. We got two DS games to preview. We got this American League wild card game to recap. We'll get into all of that. First, got to introduce myself. My name's John Boy, coming to you from New Jersey. Real name's Jimmy, if you're unaware. You can call me that. And I got my co-host, good best friend Jake here, coming to you from Denver, a little late night recording session because we got some stuff to do in the morning. And most importantly, this episode of Talking Baseball is brought to you by some fine people. Meet Cynical, Paul Jarman. Oh, I'm feeling a soft J there. Yarman.
Paulie Yar.
Otherwise, his name is Jarman. Collects jars. That'd be awesome.
Jarman.
Yeah. Daniel. Solid name. Might go by Danny. Might go by Dan. We don't know. Alex Goodwin.
I've got a theory on all the single name people.
Okay. They don't want people to know their full name? Is that a theory?
That's a theory. It's a bad theory. Okay. All the guys and gals that don't give their last name, they're Major League Baseball players. So I'm confident of it. That's probably Daniel Hudson.
Oh, okay. That's great news. He was excited that he was all excited to win yesterday, wanted to hear what we had to say, found out that we are a Patreon, needs to hear it live. Okay, thank you, Daniel Hudson. Alex Goodwin, Cassidy Martin, and Trevor Gildea. Gildea. Those are our most recent Patreon sponsors. They have access to watch live, to win a couple jerseys each month, and they really help us out as we continue to grow in the early stages of this podcast and everything. So we appreciate that. Jake, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, James. Had a late night cup of coffee to bring the heat for this. More heat than the baseball game itself brought, unfortunately. Oakland just couldn't get anything going. I'm doing well, man. I'm wondering right now if there's going to be almost a mini lull after the wild cards because we just got two game sevens.
Well, that's my spin zone. If this was a really exciting game like yesterday's, like the NL wild card, then I'd be in fear of this lull. Like, man, these game ones of the DSs are going to seem kind of benign or whatever in comparison. But this game being such a dud, entertainment-wise for neutral fans. If you're a Rays fan, you should be very happy, very excited. If you're an A's fan, you should be devastated and kind of like upset, I think. But for as a neutral fan, that was a dud of a game. That was pretty boring. And you and I are baseball enthusiasts, and we can usually enjoy kind of, you know, games that everyone else say, oh, that game sucked. Like, oh, there's good stuff to it. There's some good stuff in the beginning. But once it got past that first hour, it just dragged. We can get into it. But my spin zone is this game being a dud has me excited for the DS games. So I'm like, I need more.
Okay.
That wasn't my good fix. You know how, like, you want to end a basketball practice on a good shot, or you want to end your cage session with a good swing, barrel ball up? This was like a foul tip, and it's like, I need another. I need another game.
Yeah, and to be fair, a good chunk of it was the Rays pitchers made this game pretty boring.
Yeah.
So shout out to them. But yeah, not one that you flash in front of the non-baseball fan at the bar and be like, are you watching this?
Do you have a burn of it?
I do have a burn of it.
You want to do that before we get into it?
Yeah, let's get through it.
All right, this burn of the American League wild card game is brought to you by either our ad company put an ad right there or they didn't. All right, here we go.
It's fun.
On your mark, get set, burn.
The Coastal Kissing Cousins, for their frugal ways, meet up in the do-or-die game as Oakland and Sean Manaea hosted the salty Charlie Morton and his Rays. First batter of the game, Yandy Diaz, to the parking lot where most A's fans were when it happened. 1-0 Rays, a huge gut punch. Top two, I'm ever-sailing away. Two-run shot for Garcia. 3-0 the road team in a wild card game. Tell me if you've seen that one before. But top three, you haven't seen this. The Yandy Man can. So nice, he does it twice. Second shot for the big man whose last hit was in late July. He was injured. Wowie, wow, wow, wowie, wow, wow. 4-0 Rays. But a ray of hope for Oakland as they push one across on a Ramon Laureano sack fly after an error. It's 4-1. Okay, A's get some momentum. Nah, good game, fam. Tommy fam to deep center. It's 5-1 Rays. The Tampa pitching is the story. Dominant as they go Morton to Castillo to Anderson, and they finally end it with their pagan ways to win it. 5-1 final. They'll head to Houston to play the Stros.
Nice.
High and tight. That's all this game gave me.
Rays, all the Rays decisions worked out, Jake. Like Yandy Diaz gets the start, two home runs. Garcia gets the start. I was shocked they left Morton in for as long as they did. That worked out because there was a point, was it the first inning, where I was like, oh shit, Morton doesn't have his curveball. Base is loaded. He's going to get in trouble here. And then got out of that. Then it was on base fest for a while. Like every half inning, there was someone on base, it felt like. Morton gets out of it. The play works. They go to the bullpen. That one dude is fucking nasty. Anderson or whatever his name is. So the Rays are a bit unconventional in their ways. They went, they kept a starter in, which is conventional, but unconventional for the unconventional Rays. Double negative brings you back to normal. But
I like that.
Good on the Rays. Yeah.
Good on the Rays. Good on Charlie Morton. Doesn't give up an earned run over five innings. And like didn't have his A-plus stuff.
Yeah.
So that's impressive by him. Kind of a gutty performance on the road. And yeah, I mean Yandy Diaz, there's something too. We've overanalyzed the decisions that go into some of these games, and you were all over it, and we see the Rays a good amount because they play the Yankees 19 times a year. But Rays don't care about your name. The Rays are kind of what we talked about with the Brewers last night. Like, okay, there's a lefty in, then we're going to throw in a bunch of righties. G-Man Choi, our lefty first baseman that's been killing it, that was on the postseason picture representing the Rays, he's on the bench because they're opening up with the lefty. They put Yandy Diaz in the leadoff hole. And I know when we saw him when he was healthy earlier this year, it was like, whoa, that dude's a bad man. He's got a little bit of that Eric Thames effect where he's fucking yoked up. He looks like he could be playing linebacker or shooting guard or something like that. And his shot fired across the bow.
We got God. It's actually Thames.
Thames?
Yeah. The running saga.
I think we're just being punked right now. I think we're getting punked by everyone.
I don't know which way it is. I should have watched the video. But yeah, man, good for Yandy Diaz. That was a boring game. The A's, I went into the live chat. I went into Joe's McFly's live streaming during the game. I went in there for a little bit, and he was like, A's got glass jaws, man. Yankees punched him in the face in the first couple innings last year, and they died. This punch in the face here, they died. They get a base runner every now and then, but it was always with two outs. They hit into a double play at one point. It's bad.
Yeah, I was going through things you run through for the A's. I mean, obviously the conversation on sports radio for the A's offseason will be we should have started fires. And it was funny before the game, some people were going at the Manaea hasn't given up a run in the first four innings, and they were like, well, that's due for regression. And it's like, yeah, Because any pitcher that doesn't give up runs is going to be due for regression, because that's not how the sport works.
Find me a pitcher who's got a scoreless streak and isn't due for a regression.
Yeah, exactly. So it is crazy, and the stat you'll hear if you're an Oakland fan for the rest of the year is that Manaea gives up as many earned runs in this start as he did in his five starts he had this season. He clearly didn't have it, and the Rays were geared up. And, Jim, I think what's going to be the recurring theme that we've seen in these two games already, it was the high fastballs. If you can handle a high fastball and drive it where it needs to go, I mean, we saw some big boy home runs from the Rays. We saw two to center, and Yandy went Oppo Taco twice. So I think that's looking like the early theme of the playoffs. If you can handle that high fastball, you're going to thrive in these playoffs, because that's what everybody throws.
The Manaea pitches weren't that bad, I didn't think. They were just able to kind of sit on them. Like, I don't know. They were high and outside. They just, like, did what they had to do with them. Yandy did what he had to do with it. The one, he had an 0-2. He got it to 2-2, and he wanted to do that high outside corner for a strike. He put it right where he wanted it. Guy handled it. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. 2 years in a row where the A's opened the playoffs with a pitcher with zero playoff experience.
Yeah.
And I think if they make the wild card or whatever next year, they should probably pivot from that. We're going to see a lot in the second half of this show, teams going with experienced guys over the rookies.
Yeah, and I'm going to walk over you a little bit, because the part that sucks is that towards the end of this game, I mean, the three innings by Lizardo, if you're a baseball fan, that was close to baseball porn. I mean, that kid looks special. You know, it's one of those, it almost turns into a hindsight thing. It's like, why didn't you throw this dude? He's dirty, huh?
Well, I'm not saying it was a bad decision, because I was fine with the Manaea decision. But in the future, I think you might do someone who maybe doesn't have to deal with nerves as well as everything else.
And I think the stat, you mentioned the A's having a glass jaw. I think they're, and again, this goes back over a period of time now, but they're 0-9 in their last do or die games.
Yeah, it's since 1973.
That's
pretty far
yeah,
back.
Yeah, I mean, that 73 team, I think there's only a couple players that are still on the roster, but yeah,
they've changed hands a little bit.
It's one of those things you just don't want to be a story, because once it's a story, that sucks. And yet, the only thing that I looked back at and was like, this could have been a pivot point for Oakland, was when Profar missed getting hit by the pitch. That was like the most momentum the A's had going, and that pitch was all over his left thigh, and he just got it out of the way in time. And that was kind of their best chance at a rally. So it sucks, because you never, even in Little League, you feel bad saying like, hey, take that one for the team, kid. Never mind the major league level for a guy who used to be the number one prospect in baseball. But that was literally their best opportunity. And again, we keep saying boring game. And if you're one of the 100 Rays fans out there, you feel a little offended because your guys shoved. I mean, the pitchers were insane. And, the Rays are going to be a scary. The Rays with a lead are one of the scariest teams left in the playoffs.
Well, I'll say this. Rays fans, all you felt this game was excitement and happiness. So that means it's boring.
Yeah, a little bit. I think there's an argument there to say happiness is a
good
thing.
Not for them. Not for them. Like,
right.
Like, for a third party, like, they can't be upset if a third party person says that was a boring game.
No.
Because no team had a swing of emotions. There was never an emotional swing. It's Rays happy, A's sad, stayed that way for nine innings.
Throughout the duration.
From the first batter on.
Yeah. Yandy, man. Good for him.
Yeah. Well, we'll do this on a future episode, obviously, but they just announced that Glass now is going to be the starter for the game one versus Houston. we saw that kid as Yankee fans. We saw him go against the Yankees, and he was like wildly geared up.
Yeah.
To face the Yankees in like a big start, like couldn't control his emotions in a regular season start against the Yankees. It was a fun big game. They're both good teams. So hopefully he can get a hold of himself a little more.
Yeah, hopefully he learned somewhat of a lesson there. I mean, he's going to be juiced up.
It was like pass ball, wild pitch. Was there a balk? It was like, dude, rein yourself in.
And there was like a tapper to third that someone beat up, and that like started all of it. And you saw he clearly got like too emotional. Yeah, I mean, that's when that game one comes up. We'll be recording that tomorrow, and it'll be out on Friday. But yeah, I mean, that'll be a huge what to watch for in that game, because he's a young dude, emotions. Houston will be rocking. But when he's right, I mean, that could be so much fun Friday in Houston.
Chris Davis looked awful in this game.
Yeah, it sucks, man. I found myself rooting for him super hard because he felt like the guy that would spark it for them. Like he's been there. He's the known power hitter. He had the rough season. He's the guy that if he got one, it felt like, okay, postseason's back on. Chris Davis is here. Let's go. He had nothing. You wonder if it, because we saw him a couple times this season, and it was like, is he going to get going? Is he going to get going? And it just never happened. You almost wonder, is there some injury stuff there? Is it just how baseball flows sometimes, and he could never get his hot streak on? But yeah, tough year for Chris Davis, who's a guy they need.
Yeah. So you still like the wild card after completing two? Probably ask.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, I agree. I 100% agree. I think it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's terrible
I just
when
think
you lose it. It's just fucking brutal.
Yeah, if you get into three-game wild cards, I'm kind of open to it because one game is brutal, but at the same time, that's what it's supposed to be.
I like the two-game wild card system. Like, I don't think an American league will ever do that because it's a little different. And if no one knows what I'm talking about, there's some league. Is it Japan or is it Korea?
It's one of the overseas leagues.
And it's if you are, so Oakland was the first seed, so they only have to win one game. The Rays there would be another game. There'd be one more game, and then that's right. The elimination game. But if the A's won today, they win. I like that because three games kind of pushes the other series way too far back. You
yeah,
have two games each day, right? So yesterday you have two, and then the next day you have two. It's the same schedule, doesn't push it back.
If they won.
Yeah, if you needed both. I think I'd like that a lot. I don't think it'll ever happen, but that's what I would be a fan of.
Yeah, for me, that's just too tough because then you're going to demand, what, the road team to win two games on back-to-back days? I don't know, and I think that takes away from that Game 7 feeling that we said we liked, and I mean, I don't think you can increase teams or anything. Right now, you get the top third of the league. You get the five best teams from each league. I really liked it. It was something I was skeptical of the time because I think I was thinking of how much it sucks as a fan if your season comes down to one game of not really getting into the playoffs. Yeah. But as not a fan, I think it's really good. I think they nailed it.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with them keeping this way. If they wanted to expand it, I'd do two games. I wouldn't go to three. Because then it's a series. You're pushing everything back. Your teams are waiting. That kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You have a road trip involved there. So you can't. I don't think you can do three.
Yeah.
Anything else on this one? ESPN broadcast was. Which one did you watch? Did you watch it with sound?
I flipped over to the ESPN2 Nerd channel when I saw your tweet, just because I'm hoping that ESPN looks at it and they're like, whoa, John Boy tweeted, and then 5,000 people switched over to ESPN2, which was funny because they're obviously pushing the analytics, and I think there's some stuff there that's like, if you're going to go full analytics broadcast, you're going to lose people on part of it. I'm super into analytics. We do a weekly Yankees analytics episode. You know, there's still some stuff there that's not fully proven. Like, did you see the stats versus pitchers similar to?
Yeah, like finesse pitcher, starting pitcher, stuff like, or
Well, no, they compared it to actual guys.
Oh.
So they brought in, I forget who was pitching, but it was like, yeah, this pitcher's similar to Severino, somebody else, I forget who it was. And the analytics guys were even like, yeah, this is something we're testing out. We're not sure what kind of correlation it has. And Eduardo Perez, who I appreciate Eduardo. He's a player that's trying to appreciate this stuff as much as he can. But he was just like, you just can't do that. Like, you can't, like, pitchers are different.
Yeah, I didn't see that. But, yeah, that seems like even the guys on the broadcast were like, this isn't real. And the producer was like, no, people are going to like this. I thought that broadcast, I don't know if it was good. It was miles better than Mendoza, Vestirian, and yeah. A-Rod. I mean, that's awful, 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 awful product.
Yeah, awful. I basically, when I watch that, I'm tuned in on the game, and my ear turns on when A-Rod says something weird.
It's awful. Both broadcasts have the problem with smothering the game. Like,
yeah,
they're both just nonstop talked.
Last gem that I got out of A-Rod before I switched over was when they said, when Avisail Garcia was in Detroit, they called him a little Miggy, and A-Rod was like, those are tough expectations. If you don't hit 400 with 1,000 homers a year, you're not Miguel Cabrera. And I was like, yeah, A-Rod, you wrote that one down, and you were feeling real good, huh, buddy?
I like A-Rod. I like those people separately. That booth has such weird chemistry. It's cool that they offer both broadcasts. They still need to offer room. Everyone hates Joe Buck. Joe Buck's the fucking best play-by-play guy. He talks so little in comparison to these other guys.
Yeah.
If a big play happens, you just listen to the crowd, which is what everyone wants.
Right.
They just smother in the broadcast. But I liked it for a while because they were actually talking about the situations at hand.
Right.
Which I like. But all right, let's move forward. We got two games to talk about. Let's take a little break, and then we'll get to them. We are back. We have the National League Divisional Series starting, Jake. Two games today, which is exciting. We've got Braves versus Cardinals as the first game, and then Dodgers versus Nationals as the nightcap. Let's start with the first game, Braves versus Cardinals, two division winners. We have Miles Michaelis versus Dallas Keuchel. Should be a good matchup. I was reading on these teams, Jake. They're like matched up very similar. Like the Zips projections and all that have them all squared up. I don't know how much we want to do like an overall series preview because we're going to do every game anyway. So let's kind of just talk about this matchup, opening it up. Braves are the home team. Michaelis versus Keuchel. You got any first thoughts?
First thoughts that I'll start off pretty wide and zoom in is five game sets are messed up, man. My original note, and you know how my brain works, so this might get a laugh out of you, but I wrote down instantly, I was like, whoever wins game one wins this series. And then I was like, well, that feels partially obvious. But then I looked at some of the other matchups and I was like, I don't actually believe that. I think there's a lot of moving parts. And I don't know, you and I talked about this a little bit. We both like Keuchel getting the ball game one. He's got the playoff experience. I mean, for all of Houston's build-up years before that damn Verlander guy came to town, Keuchel was their go-to guy. The spot's not going to be too big for him. And Jimmy, he's been really good this year. You know this is one of my favorite things to do. Keuchel had one serious outlier start this year. He had a 3.2 8 earned runs against the Marlins. Don't really know what that was about. If you take away that one start, which I think it's 1 out of 19, Keuchel would have had a 3.22 ERA this year. I mean, it's not like they're going experience over skill to a giant degree. Although Soroka and Freed are really good. Like, Keuchel has had a very quality season. You kind of know what you're going to get. He's going to give you a chance. So I really like them giving the ball to Keuchel.
Yeah, and he's got experience in the postseason. 9 games started in the postseason, and his team is 6-3 in those games. So, you know, nerves aren't going to get the best of him. He is the home pitcher. It's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. He hasn't faced the Cardinals, Jake, this season. And he was in the American League for a while, he hasn't faced the Cardinals since August of 2016. And he went 5 innings pitched, like a lot of earned runs that game. But who cares about that? It was 2016. So that's kind of interesting that there's not a lot of track record there. Only 4 guys have at-bats against him on the Cardinals. And only one of them has a lot, and that's Goldie, who's got a good amount of at-bats against Keuchel, and it's not good. He's got 20 plate appearances, 18 at-bats, only 3 hits, 1 double, .250 on base percentage, 20 plate appearances. Yachty, Ozuna, Carpenter have a handful. Nothing really worth talking about. So it's Keuchel versus a team that hasn't seen him in a while, which is interesting to me, or something that I like to make note of. See how that plays out, because they're going to be feeling each other out their first time through the order, and it might be the second time through the order that either Keuchel settles in or they get to him. But there might be a swift change through the first and second time.
I think it's funny going over to Michaelis, who will get the ball on the road game 1, which is a tough ask anyways. And I've been flip-flopping on some Jack Flaherty thoughts this whole time because I know the Brewers were coming for them, but God, really would like Jack Flaherty ready for game 1. But anyways, Michaelis, and it's part of how much baseball has changed, he actually led the NL in losses this year. I know nobody actually cares about that.
How many?
He was 9. He had 14.
Damn.
Yeah. So, I mean, his stats are pretty solid. I mean, 4.16 ERA over 184 innings pitched. The FIP isn't too far off from that 4.27. But, like, this is a guy that even 5 years ago we'd be looking at him starting game 1 and being like, why are they throwing this chump out there? So I think that's kind of a funny thing. And I think one of my recurring themes for this theory, and it's what you just mentioned about Keuchel to a degree, is for the Cardinals, the hitters that jump out to me on the Cardinals are the righties. And so we mentioned Keuchel. Freed is going to get a start in this one. I want to see, I think a big part of this series in general is going to be Braves lefty pitching versus the Cardinals righties. And I mean, Paul Goldschmidt, who's been one of the best first basemen in baseball for a while now. Marcell Ozuna, who he's a threat. He's the definition of the threat. I think he's got the stat going around on the Nerdcast today was he's got the Cardinals 4 hardest hit balls or something like that. And then, Jom, he's your guy. Yadier Molina, I'm going to pull the experience card because he has a pretty solid playoff batting average, and he's got 89 playoff games and 343 playoff appearances. If Yachty's with runners on base against the Braves lefty, I mean, I really like Yachty's experience there. So I think Braves lefties versus the Cardinals righties are going to be one of the biggest themes of this series and probably game 1.
I was going through the Cardinals lineup, Jake. Is not that good.
Nobody jumps off the page.
Nobody jumps off the page besides Goldie.
Yeah.
And then I went through like, all right, well, has anyone been hot lately? So I pulled up their September numbers. They're fucking brutal, man.
Yeah.
In September, now Yachty had a 682 OPS in September. But I agree with you. Yachty in the playoffs, I expect him to come to. I expect Yachty to be a threat.
He's going to give you an at-bat. That's all you can ask.
Dexter Fowler in September, 636 OPS. DeJong, 655 OPS. Ozuna, 622 OPS. Bader, 646 OPS. These guys are all in their starting lineup. They all had fucking brutal Septembers. That's below average. Yeah, and if you don't know, the OPS that starts with six is below average.
I think
Goldie and
Edmund
have been crazy.
Yeah, that's the one name we haven't mentioned yet that Cardinals fans would be mad at is Tommy Edmund. Rookie, he's come up this year, 92 games. He had a 3.8 war, hit 304, 11 homers, a 350 on base. The kid is really playing second base, third base, a little corner outfield. And he's the guy that's a little bit of a wild card. Is Tommy Edman real? And we're going to be walking away from this playoff series saying, like, yeah, that he's a switch hitter. That's one of the guys we should have been talking about as a main threat in this lineup. You and I do lean on experience. I can't buy into playoff Tommy Edman until I see it. I mean, look at the A's rookie catcher today. My guy went to throw out a guy stealing, and he lost the ball. And his one at bat, he went down looking, and that was it.
Yeah. Well, the reason Edmund got a lot of run is that Ender, I'm going to say this last name wrong, Inciarte?
I think it's Inciarte.
Inciarte. He got hurt, and then, first Edmund came up, and he pushed Carpenter out, I believe. Is it Carpenter?
Yeah, Carpenter did not have a Matt Carpenter year, and that's another guy that if he has two big playoff games early, it's like, oh, Matt Carpenter's back, huh?
Well, he's been doing better since Ender got hurt. That moved Edmund to third and Carpenter back in at second. I think he's been playing well since he moved back. Edmund's been really good. But anyway, my point is the Cardinals lineup does not scream good things to me.
And it really shouldn't. Stats-wise and even threat-wise, like, I gave Ozuna a lot of love. His year was solid, but, I mean, he's a guy that's a threat, and I think that's kind of what I was saying. The right-handed bats are the only guys that I think could scare you for the entirety of this series.
Yeah, and then for the Braves, it's all about their top four, which for a lot of National League teams, that's always who it's all about. Acuna, Albies, Freeman, Donaldson, you're going to have Markakis. I wonder what they're going to do with the infield. I think our dude Dansby Swanson, anyone that's listened to Talking Baseball, knows he's been on slump watch for a while.
Yeah, we missed it while we were...
He had some hits.
Yeah, he had a four-hit game and a three-hit game back-to-back. So I think he's 9 for his last 24 or something like that. So I think they rolled Dansby out there. But if he looks bad, I think they go to Echeverria pretty quickly. I think that's definitely a story in Braves land. But, yeah, I mean, it kind of starts and stops with Albies, Freeman, Acuna, and Donaldson. And, yeah, I mean, I think the Matt Joyce, Adam Duvall conversation is a fun one after checking those guys' splits out.
Yeah, but they got a lot. They don't have any lefties, right? The Cardinals don't have any lefties.
Let me get in there. I don't think they have a lot of lefties.
I think Joyce is going to get a lot of run, and that'll be fun for him. And then McCann's going to be their backstop, right? Is McCann their starting catcher
postseason? They've split pretty evenly between McCann and Flowers. You assume, you know, McCann can still swing it pretty good from the right side of that. Or from the left side, excuse me, and he's got a lot of playoff experience. And Matt Joyce, I know we're talking about it kind of casually, like him and Duvall, who Duvall does have great splits against lefties, so maybe you'll see a pinch hit at bat or whatever it is. Matt Joyce has had a really good year, 238 plate appearances, a .295 batting average, a .408 on base, and .858 OPS. You know, Matt Joyce kind of deserves to be playing. And I think, again, he's a guy who's been around a lot. You think he's going to give you professional at bats. The playoffs, that statement could change just a couple at bats. But he's an .871 OPS against right-handed pitching. I think you can, if he gets right and he's batting maybe five hole for the Braves, I mean, now you've just stretched out your lineup one more dude.
Yeah. Not worried about the Braves lineup. I'm worried about Cardinals lineup.
Yeah.
Because they got, I'll give you Miotti. I'll give you Goldie. And I think, like, Edmund's been batting two hole. We'll see how they do it in the playoffs. But after that, man, I mean Ozuna's good. So their top four is Fowler, who's been bad in September, Edman, Goldie, Ozuna, then Yachty. That's their top five. Then after that, it's like DeJong, Carpenter, Bader. That's
Colton,
it.
Colton Wong's a solid player.
He's hurt.
He hasn't had a great year. Is he out for the whole series, or they don't know yet? That's the last I heard.
Nah, I'm pretty sure he's out.
Yeah, last I saw, they weren't sure if he was going to start game one. I don't know. Not sure if he's going to be on the roster or not. But if he is, now they're
saying he's going to start. I looked this up earlier, and they were saying like they didn't think he was going to be there. That's good for them.
Yeah, because he's solid. I mean, he hasn't had what he could have had this year, but he's a good ball player. And that's the only thing that has me worried about this series, Jimbo, is that Acuña and Freddie Freeman are nicked up. Acuña. And Colton Wong, I just don't want to walk away from this series and be like, yeah, you know, Cardinals 1-4, Ronnie and Freddie, they just didn't look right. I just don't want that to happen.
Yeah. I'm just reading this. Dakota Hudson will be available out of the bullpen because they had updates today for the Cardinals, because I checked this way earlier when I was doing this. And I didn't see he was in. But, yeah, Wong ran today, passed the test, and he's going to be in the lineup tomorrow. He's really good defensively. He's one of the best defensive infielders. So lay down some runs.
I think we won't do the whole thing because we are going day by day, but I believe they're going the Braves are going Keuchel, Foltynewicz, and Soroka and Fried. I think what's going to be an interesting thing that I have circled in this one is that Soroka and Fried, they're going to be on the road. And, you know, again, guys that don't have a ton of experience, they could go out there and shove and look like the Rays did tonight. Or if they look a little shook, that could be it.
Foltynewicz. Yeah. Kind of interesting. Like, Soroka's young, dude. But we like... Yeah. We like that. As Yankee fans, we like putting Severino as the road guy. Go be the bad guy. Like, go.
Yeah.
So maybe it's the same thing.
A little bit. And, you know, it goes one of two ways pretty quick. That's the beauty of the sport. And the other thing that I've been just flip-flopping, you could ask me every 5 minutes and I'll have a different answer. But, I mean, Jack Flaherty game two, if I'm a Cardinals fan, I don't want to regret the Brewers coming back in the race so we couldn't line up our starters, that Jack Flaherty only gets one start this series.
No, he's lined up to get two.
If they go five, that's what I'm saying. If the Braves win this in four, I think you're a Cardinals fan. You're going to be kicking yourself that you didn't have him for 1-4.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, and that's why
the division was on the line.
Yeah, and that's why. And the Brewers came back into it. But like you mentioned, some of the Cardinals' numbers this past month haven't been great. The Brewers played incredible. But yeah, I don't know. And at the same time, we fell into this trap in Yankee land. If St. Louis can sneak out game one, and they could beat Keuchel. Keuchel's not unbeatable by any measure. I think that Braves house is going to be rocking, chop on. But if the Cardinals sneak out game one, Jack Flaherty on the bump game two to bring it back to St. Louis for two games, that's why I think game one has more importance than it normally would. But I think anyone could say that about any series.
You just did the chop on in the call. And I was thinking when we were at the wedding in Maine and we heard like five bridesmaids, they were taking pictures in the woods, and the photographer said, like, make crazy noise. And they're like, blah, 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 blah. And we heard them through the woods, and we were like, holy shit, that sounds crazy. Since you can't see them, it's just coming from the woods. Imagine a whole tribe of Native Americans doing the, like, oh, chants. Man, war was scary. Just the noises alone would have scared me.
War was scary. Next,
then they
next
appear
time
through the trees on horseback, fucking kill you like the Dothraki.
And I could see Atlanta showing up to game one like that when they call out the players.
Damn. That's scary. All right, next.
But is there a little merit to this statement that this game one is a little more important just because with Jack Flaherty, the Braves are either playing with one in the pocket or it's essentially do or die against the best pitcher in baseball the second half of the year.
Nah, I don't think Jack Flaherty is a sure thing in the postseason. Like, he's not Verlander. Okay. It's just going to be his first time. You know what I mean? Like it.
A little bit, yeah.
His regular season is fantastic. He could crumble in the first inning and we'd be like, well, yeah, playoff baseball's different. I don't think he's an ace in the pocket at all. I mean, if you are a Cardinals fan, be confident. But if you're a Braves fan, I think you can easily convince yourself, like, if we can get to him, it's playoff baseball. It's a different animal.
Right. Walk, Freddie Freeman, two-run shot, boom.
Yeah, there you go. All right, next up, Dodgers versus the Nationals. Nationals fly out to L.A., partying on the plane, Jake, champagne bottles, screaming, beat L.A., beat L.A., beat L.A. We had a camera crew there. It was a nuts plane ride. It was crazy. Got Walker Buehler versus Patrick Corbin. Really good matchups here. Going to be a fun series. It's hopefully it feels more intense. I was going to say like West Coast baseball, if it starts in the daytime, it just doesn't, it's lacking in intensity. But Dodger Stadium is pretty, it's got the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Los Angeles likes getting behind a winner, and they'll be there for this Dodgers team. And man, I was going through the Dodgers like year by year stuff. I think this is their seventh or eighth straight playoff appearance. And the Dodgers are doing something special, but they don't have that title. And I've got a little bit of a hot take, Jim. I think this is going to be the most fun series in the playoffs. Even if like the Yankees and Houston meet up, even if there's, whatever the World Series is, because these teams have stacked starting pitching. They've got fun bats in their lineup, and the bullpens are kind of a shit show. And I think this series is just going to be a delight.
I like that. I was excited. That's why I was rooting for the Nats, because I thought this series would be really good. We got Buehler going. Walker Buehler, not Kershaw. The torch has been passed. Buehler has it in his hands. Two games versus the Nats this season, one in July, one in May. One was not great, 5.1 innings pitched, 4 runs. That was when he actually matched up with Strasburg, and it was like kind of important games, the end of July, before the trade deadline. And then there was a 7 innings pitch, 0 earned runs in May. In the bad start, Dozier homered, Robles tripled, and Rendon had an RBI single. Then there's some errors and stuff like that. The numbers against him, there's not a lot there. Gerardo Parra, who is intense as fuck. He has a 316 on base percentage. He's got 4 hits and 19 plate appearances and a home run. I don't think he gets him a start. Maybe I don't know what that does. But he's got the most. And then after that, the next best is Rendon's 3-for-6. It's 500. And again, I guess we haven't done this disclaimer on Talking Baseball yet, but batter versus pitcher stats, we know not to put a lot of stock into them because a lot of it's chance and happenstance. I still love looking at them. I cannot stop. Because if there's something crazy that pops out, that's cool.
You've always been a big BVP guy. That was your fantasy strategy back in the day, and it worked pretty well because it makes sense. You can hit a guy, you can hit a guy.
Well, I think it's confidence. Like Juan Soto's 0-for-5. Never gotten a hit off Walker Buehler.
I believe in do, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this maybe I'll go broken record mode a little bit, but Jim, I like Patrick Corbin getting the game one start because we saw it in the Red Sox series last year. This Dodgers team is not the same team against lefties. I mean, think about the guys that get neutralized more so against lefties. Muncy, Peterson probably won't even start.
I think
Bellinger is not the same player against left-handed pitching. And so, okay, Corey Seager. So you say, all right, but the righties are going to be better. The righties you're worried about are Justin Turner and David Freese, which, no offense, I'm a big Justin Turner guy. I think he gives a mean at-bat. But think about the other guys I just neutralized a little bit. Muncy, Bellinger, Peterson. Those are the guys that are special and dynamic and win you games. And I like Corbin coming out in game one against Walker Buehler, who hasn't been the Walker Buehler we saw in the playoffs that broke out last year. He's had a good year, but he took a step back, and I think he turned it on later in the year, and he's better at home. So you figure with that crowd, his fastball will have a little more juice. But kind of like what you just said, I mean, one bad inning from Walker Buehler, and it's going to be like, well, should they have gone Kershaw or Ryu? It's like, get out of here, Kirkjian.
I like the Walker Buehler pick.
Yeah?
He got Moxie.
Vandy guy, Jim.
Vandy guy, whatever that means. So wait, so Peterson, Jock's been starting a lot, but maybe they're just facing a lot of righties lately? Because who platoons with Jock? Is it Taylor?
I mean, Taylor's around. I know Verdugo got hurt, but he's a lefty.
Hernandez?
Kike can play anywhere.
Yeah, but he's not going to start. He's been brutal.
Yeah, I mean, they love Kike. And yeah, if for those of you at home that don't know, I mean, the Jock Peterson splits are no joke. Against right-handed pitching, Jock Peterson's .252, a .349 on base with a .920 OPS. He's essentially an all-star. All of his home runs this year have come off of right-handed pitching. Against lefties, a .240 on base, a .505 OPS. He goes from an all-star to a double-A hitter, righty versus lefty.
I think Gavin Lux might get the start. I think he's making the roster. He's been starting at second base a good amount lately. We'll see. That would be interesting.
Lux, he's been playing. Big prospect. A John Boy Media fan.
Will Smith and Russell Martin behind the dish. I think it's going to be Smith. We'll see how it goes. But the Dodgers have a lot of history against Corbin. They're in the same division for a long time. Corbin's last start, actually, before I get into that, was bad. 4.1 innings pitched, 6 earned runs to Cleveland. I mean, he was good all season. He's coming off a bad start, so that's interesting. He had one start against the Dodgers this season back in May. It was really good. 7 innings pitched, only 3 hits, 0 earned runs. In his career, he has 19 games against the Dodgers to starts to 3.36 ERA. Justin Turner has really good numbers against him. 12 for 32 with 3 doubles, 2 homers. That's a 1.116 OPS. Corey Seager has terrible numbers against him. And Chris Taylor has a lot of at-bats. His numbers aren't good. Cody Bellinger is 2 for 11. You know, I'm really interested in Cody Bellinger. If you want my honest opinion, that's who I'm watching. We've seen him kind of get neutralized by good pitching. And
yeah.
I've seen a couple games where they have their way with him, like top tier pitchers. So we'll see. He says, didn't he have like a bad postseason last year, Jake?
I'd have to get into the numbers. I just know, again, it's kind of that, like, if there's a lefty, I mean, Cody Bellinger isn't MVP Cody Bellinger.
Oh. His postseason was worse than bad last year. Yeah, it is definitely Bellinger watch. In 16 games, 11 starts, 57 plate appearances, he had a .385 OPS.
Yeah.
A .193 on base percentage. Holy shit. That's not even bad. That's like brutal. So
yeah, and I think he obviously last year he was a lesser player throughout the season, and I do remember reading the articles now, like, that motivated him to get where he is. So yeah, I mean, it's Cody Bellinger, it's money time, and his numbers versus lefties aren't I mean, they're still good. His numbers versus righty are much better, but a .280 batting average, a .386 OBP, and a .982 OPS. I mean, that's why he's probably the NL MVP.
Yeah. You want to make picks or anything to end this show?
I guess we're not a huge pick show. I think the one fun conversation, again, is the starting pitching here, because the Dodgers are going Bueller. They're undecided about Ryu Kershaw. And then Bueller would be on full rest for game four, and it'd be all hands on deck for game five. The Nationals have an interesting thing here, Jimmy, because they can go. It's going to be Corbin game one. We know that. I wonder if they win, if they do throw Anibal Sanchez game two, because here's my thinking. You have Strasburg and Scherzer game three and four at home, and the Nationals don't want to use their bullpen. They don't have a bullpen. So I think if they win game one, there's a conversation to be had there that you throw Anibal out there for game two, or you throw Strasburg game two, because he only threw, I think, 34 pitches in that game.
What's the rest, 2 days rest?
It would be, 2 days rest, 34 pitches. So, I mean, it's probably naturally a throw day, but it's more than he normally would do.
I don't know what you do.
That's the fun conversation, because then Strasburg would be lined up for game five with, again, Scherzer basically being able to follow him. But you have to get to game five for that.
But if he doesn't pitch game two, Anibal Sanchez pitches game two.
Right.
Then there's an off day. Now we're looking at we're looking at normal rest.
Or you'd have Strasburg and Scherzer with normal slash extra rest for your two home games, which that sounds pretty nice to me.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
And it's not like Anibal's been bad this year, but I mean, you just run the risk of going 0-2 and then putting, I mean, again, this team in a Scherzer-Strasburg start was a Josh Hader normal performance away from not being here. So I think that's the fun conversation. I don't know if there is a right or wrong answer.
We will see. That's an interesting point. We'll see. And then what's the Dodgers doing? Ryu game two or Kershaw game two?
So they haven't said it's Ryu or Kershaw, and then the other one will get the third game.
Cool. For these first games, I think I'm taking Dodgers, and I kind of want to take the Nationals. Taking Nationals, well, Braves. I don't care.
I think
don't act like I'm saying this with confidence.
Yeah, no, I think old takes exposed, man. Our favorite account.
I might like the guy who runs Old Takes Exposed.
Sure.
But I hate his account, and the people that worship it are the worst.
The leeches. I think Keuchel at home is really fun, and yeah, I mean, the idea of Patrick Corbin kind of shutting down the Dodgers, I don't know if that's more of a dream, but that I'm a storyline guy, and I kind of like this being the implosion of the Dodgers. Hey, thanks for listening, Dodgers fans.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll be back tomorrow to recap these two games and preview the two American League Divisional Series matchups and games. Thank you very much. Leave a rating if you want. We'd appreciate it.